Hello. Test, test. All right, this is a little sound warning for this episode of Ham Radio. I haven't done a ham radio since I got to the United States, and I was coming home drunk last night, and I was like, all right, let's record one now. But this thing that I've had happen before, I mean, did it happen in New York before? I can't remember, but just this buzzing. There's this buzzing in the recording sometimes that was not there in real life, and I don't know where it's from. If it's from, like, Transformers or something, like some kind of electrical field. I don't know what it is, but it's really annoying. And I did what I could to take out as much of the buzz as possible. So there's parts of the show toward the beginning here that dip into just weird low quality, and that's why, to get rid of the buzz. And then it came back a bit in the second half, but only at the start. It doesn't stay. And this episode, I mean, because I was drunk, I don't know, you record shit when you're drunk and you hope it's good, but generally it's not, just a bunch of bullshit, which is the case here. It's just a lot of fucking pointless blabbing about America, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, if you can fight your way through it, though. The second part of the episode is the next day, this morning when I woke up, kind of hungover. And I think that stuff's pretty good. I don't know, you could just jump ahead 40 minutes or 50 minutes. How long? Here, I'll tell you. Hold on. Yeah, about 45 minutes. That's where I think this is actually worth listening to. The stuff before that, you know, jump ship, it's fine. It's my fault, but I'm still going to put it out, so hey, here we are. But it's just the sound warning. That's what's going on with the sound. All right, cool. Thank you for listening to Ham Radio, episode 151. You're a good man, Jimmy James. Oh, I also wanted to say that when I accuse Richard Linklater of being meandering and pseudo-intellectual while I am having a rambling pseudo-intellectual dialogue, monologue, I recognize the irony of that. Okay.
End is coming because the Mayans told me so. Look out, the sky is falling and we're all gonna go down, 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 oh, deep into the depths.
All right, so I haven't done a ham radio since I got to New York. Been here 2 or 3 weeks. I'm in Astoria, Queens right now. I think I recorded from here once. Yeah, I did. It was after I interviewed Jesse Joyce. I was trying to find a Scott Pilgrim comic from 2009. I believe the episode was called Fully Successful Trip to a Museum, because I failed to go to a museum. Is that the one? Ah, whatever, it doesn't matter. So, New York, America. My basic thoughts haven't changed at all. You know, I've tweaked them a little. I think maybe I can understand a little more why people feel the way they do about this city and about this country. Well, I won't dwell on it, but my current thinking is, like, the more I sort of understand about American culture, it's pretty fucked up. There's huge swaths of America that aren't worth a good goddamn. So I guess that's the difference, right? Like, say you're in New York, the notion that it's the greatest city. Like, I guess if I was from America and my options were the rest of America, that's a pretty good reason to stay in New York. Like, there's a lot of America you would not want to live in, and you just don't want to deal with those fucking backward ass fucks. But it's just different for me. Because the overwhelming notion I get on this particular trip is that just the social fabric of America, all these problems that they have, all these fights about just weird shit, stem cell research and gay marriage and healthcare and the left fighting the right and religious intolerance. Well, tolerance in a way of religion, just the fact that religious people have a foothold and have a voice that anyone gives a fuck about, all this weird shit. It's just cleared up in Canada. It's just, we solved this like a long time ago. It's just done with. It's over. So I guess that's the difference.
is that when Americans gauge the relative value of New York, they're like, well, if I don't live in New York, I gotta live in X, Y, or Z that may be much worse. Whereas for me, it's like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. Come on, man, it's so much better. Just like, just so much better on so many levels. And maybe on a level that just isn't available in the United States, just on a cultural level. We just have a lot of shit figured out. So, hasn't made me any more, like, acceptant of New York. But maybe it makes me understand a little more. I don't know, I was just lucky, alright? And also that, okay? Let's go with that. I really thought Canada was just like the States. I thought they were the same until I left Canada. And then I realized the States is like a lot more fucked up. Like a lot weirder and a lot more problems. So, I'm sure it's the same if you live in the States. If you've never really lived somewhere else, you've never really been out. It's not like I'm the most worldly fucking dude in the world. Canada and the United States, that's all I know. But even just those two, they're very different. So, the way that I just assumed that the Canadian way of life is how it was in the States until I left, and then I'm like, wait a sec, this is actually very different and very fucked up. It's no different if you live in the States and this is all you know. You just think this is how it is. Like, that's something that I really didn't realize that has become really clear this time coming down here, is that people who grew up in America, they just don't have any conception of how things are different elsewhere, even close by, even Canada, that is very, very similar culture. But we just don't have this crazy shit. We don't have crazy gun nuts. We don't have crazy religious powers, like religious people that have an actual say on policy. We just don't have these things. This left and right political fucking divide that is just childish and cartoonish. We just don't have these things. But you can't know that or accept that or really believe that until you experience it. And that's fine. That's understandable. It still really fucking pisses me off and drives me crazy, but I understand it a little more. So that's my latest take. Essentially the same as it was 3 or 4 years ago. Just a little tweaked. But I didn't want to blab about that too much. Let's just play a song. Clear the palate. Let's play Sons of Privilege by Alexis on Fire. A nice Canadian band complaining about America. Boom.
Let's move on to the next question. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jenny. I'm a sophomore, and this is for all three of you. Can you say in one sentence or less what... you know what I mean. Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Will?
The New York Jets.
No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, Lewis and Sharon said it. Diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom.
I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
You're... Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom?
Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Alright, so down to the nuts and bolts. I've always had nuts and bolts of my actual life instead of all this abstract political bullshit that who gives a fuck about. I've always had a problem sleeping, like a lot of weird insomnia problems throughout my life, and it's hit me additionally since I've been here, I think just because it's a weird environment. I'm staying at Keith and Hemda's studio, and I'm beholden to this schedule. They don't have a very tough schedule. I don't have to get up till about noon or so, but it's just, you know, I have to wake up basically when they show up, I can't go to sleep until they leave, and that's just enough to fuck me up. So my insomnia has been kicking in again, and like this weekend in particular, man, it fucked me good. Friday was fun. I hung out with Keith and Hemda. We drank and did some dumb radio show that they'd on Sirius XM. I was on satellite radio. Just something contractually they had to do. So they're like, you want to be on? Maybe it'll be more fun because fuck this thing. But then staying up that night and drinking just fucked me for the next day. I just couldn't sleep that well. I woke up tired and I just get like ornery. Can't fall back asleep, but I just can't be around people because I'm just on this hair trigger. So I ended up missing this chick Libby, had this little party I was going to go to, but it didn't go to. And this chick Andrea Facebooked me like, hey, we should go get a drink. And that's always a disaster when I hang out with her, but you know, might have been cool, but I was like, no, I'm staying home. Fuck all this. Because I wanted to go to bed early, to wake up early, to go on a bike ride adventure. Because Kyle has this whole, like, bike group he sets up where they choose a starting spot and an end spot, and they all bike together, and it seems super fucking cool. But I had to get up extra early because it's, you know, starts in Brooklyn and I'm in Queens. But I really wanted to do it, so I mean, I did everything I could. I stayed home that day. I went to bed at 9 o'clock at night. I took 2 sleeping pills. Everything, I was exhausted all day. Everything I could do to go to bed in time. But I couldn't. I just couldn't fall asleep. And there's just nothing I can do about it. I mean, I don't want to take more sleeping pills. I don't want to be some fucked up Heath Ledger dude and just die. And it's frustrating, you know? It's like, it's not up to me when I'm gonna sleep. Like, I just can't control it. It's awful. So I sent him a Facebook message finally at like 2 a.m. when it was just clear I was not gonna fall asleep, to just say like, sorry, I'm not gonna make it. And he's usually the most positive dude about like, no problem, man, I'll see you next time. But this time he's like, ah, that's fucking lame. And I was like, ah, I felt bad because I know that's lame. It fucking sucks. I wanted to do that and I just couldn't. Like, I physically couldn't do it. There's just nothing else I could do. It really sucks. Like, I don't know if I should see some kind of sleep specialist when I get back to Canada, but even then, I mean, like, things are piling up. Like, I was already going to a bladder specialist, and that got interrupted by my appendicitis, and I should go back and finish that up, and then maybe see the sleep doctor, and, like, I question how much they'll actually be able to help me. I don't know. It just sucks. It's unfortunate that I missed the whole weekend of stuff. Just nothing. But then tonight, Keith Malley invited me over to just watch some TV. TV watch at night. So at least I got that in. At least I did that. So we sat around drinking, watching the Olympics and shit. So now I'm a little drunken, but at least I did something, you know? Sucks that I missed that other shit, but it's just nothing I can do. I don't know, man. It's like a disease. I just gotta work around it. This fucking insomnia is ridiculous. So I'm not really sure what song I should play. Let me figure that out.
You know, Astoria is not too bad of a neighborhood, by the way. I don't mind it out here. It's kind of nice. It's a lot closer than when I lived in Flushing. I mean, from here I can just jump on a train and be in Manhattan in no time. Brooklyn's still about an hour, but oh man, I was back too in Bushwick. Just like Myrtle Avenue, all that shit, like right where Ian lived. Actually, I walked by her house. I stopped a stop early. I went to go see Kyle play in one of his bands, and I got out a stop early so I could walk past where Ian lived. I think maybe she still lives there. Who the fuck knows? But it was just weird being back in that neighborhood, because man, it fucking sucks. It cartoon sucks. Like, out here is pretty cool, and I've been bicycling a lot lately. So I've covered Queens. Like, Forest Hills is super gorgeous. It's a lot like Toronto. Most of it is just kind of okay. It's unique, man, in New York. I mean, you can't see more weird, fucked up shit in a day than you can here. I went over to Manhattan just once so far. biked around Central Park a couple times and then went to Midtown. I had to psych myself up a bit to, I mean, the traffic's so crazy there. I mostly was walking my bike, but then I was watching those bicycle messenger dudes weave in between traffic, and I was like, finally, I was like, I was at that perfect point where my body wasn't that tired yet, but my brain was tired enough to just be like, fuck all this, fuck walking my bike, fuck you cars. So I just found one of those bike messenger dudes and just followed him for like 10 or 12 minutes, weaving through the cars and the traffic and all the crazy shit. I probably should be dead. But it was kind of cool. It's actually, even though there's more traffic in New York, I think the amount of traffic congests things enough that it seems safer than Toronto in a way. Because Toronto traffic is just full of fucking assholes. Like, they don't give a fuck at all about you. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen a lot of New York since I've been biking. And there are some nice parts, but not most of the parts. So I'm going to play this song. It's this side band that Kid Cudi started called Wizard. I don't even know the name of this song, but one of the lines is that most people are pussies. I like that line. It's good. So let's listen to that song. Studio. I think I am kind of drunk because, man, that took a lot of tries to open that door. Here's the sweet-ass bicycle that Lauren hooked me up with. Kick ass.
Oh, man. See, now it's like almost 4 in the morning. And I am never going to be able to fall asleep because drinking does not make me fall asleep. But people will be coming in to do the Keith and the Girl show at about noon. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be a little tired tomorrow. I think Keith said he wanted me to be on the show, too, to talk about Batman and the Olympics. I don't know, whatever. I was tired last time, too. I just got to make sure it doesn't turn into a tirade against America this time. I don't need to do that shit again. Fuck it. I don't know. At least I got across a little bit to people. It wasn't a clean sweep. It wasn't just people hating me. So it was like 60-40 about this notion of patriotism. Because, I mean, I really do think this American notion of being patriotic, it's just bizarre. I've never felt that way. I don't think anyone that I know feels that way. I think most other first world countries don't feel that way, the way America does. So I'm just glad to at least have gotten that across, just to at least let them know. Because, again, it's like you grow up in a place and you just don't know what it's like outside that place. You don't know that your social mores are just not the same. You just, I mean, if you're this, you know, you grow up with this American patriotism, this belief in your country, you just think other countries that are at your same basic socioeconomic level feel the same way you do and act the same way you do about their country, but they don't. So I don't think I changed anybody's mind, but I'm just glad to maybe let them just be aware of that, that that's not how it is for other people, to maybe just second guess it a little. Because I really do feel like it's a lot like religion. It's, you know, with religion, it's like, well, sure, I'm doing this, that, and the other weird thing while I'm alive, but it's because I'll get this when I die, or because this happened in the past, or this weird bill of goods I've been sold, this weird story of my religion that I believe in that makes me do bizarre things. I think it's similar with America, you know? And I mean, I understand it, I think probably a lot more than I expressed on Keith and Emda's show. I mean, I didn't grow up with it, but I mean, in my teenage years, I found a lot of stuff about America, about this story of America. And I basically believed it, of just the freedom, you know, the life and liberty for all. All men are created equal. Like, this was the country that was like the icebreaker on the front of the ship, you know, the pushing through and spreading this beautiful gospel of freedom to the world. I believed in that as an abstract theory, and I don't really anymore. I don't think it's that important. Like, maybe it was decades back, but and nowadays, in today's world, there's all kinds of countries that are free and that are... The thing is, I guess this would be the argument that Americans would make, is like, they wouldn't be that way if it weren't for us. And I don't know, maybe that's true, but what if it isn't? Like, what if that's just a story, like some kind of Jesus story? Like, hey, the only reason that you are free to enter into the kingdom of heaven now is because Jesus died for your sins back then. Well, maybe the world is only free now because America did all this magical shit back then. It's just, you can't live your life based on that. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. It's too big, it's too abstract. It's just, it's not a realistic basis for values. It's just not. And I can see how you fall into it. It's your culture. It's what the people around you believe. It's like a national peer pressure, but it's just, come on, dudes, just get the fuck over it, man. It's like Santa Claus, it's like Jesus, just get over it. Don't make decisions based on this supposed history, you know, all these things about our lives are bad now, but it's worth it because it's all in the service of this great history of ours. Fuck your history. Fuck it, man. Half of it is made up. Columbus Day. There's so much shit in your past. All men are created equal, but we have slaves. Like, just get over it. It's not... I'll give you this. It's a better story than Jesus. It's a lot better. But it's just a story, and it's still not that good of a story. This whole fucking individualist myth that has been built up around America. And, like, I can't tell you how much I believed in this. That's, I guess, what really is the kicker, is I believed in it more than you, American person. You know, just that you just absorbed all this shit growing up that you never really understood and you never really researched. I didn't grow up with it. I found it myself. I understood this shit. I fucking understood. I believed more than you did. And I saw through it more than you do. I mean, I don't know. Just come on. Keep up, fuckers. That's all. Just... like, how am I not supposed to be annoyed? How am I supposed to take this shit seriously? Just daily, man. Within days of me being on Keith and the Girl and talking about just American culture and how bullheaded and ridiculous it is, days later, a guy in Colorado shot a bunch of people at a Batman movie, and yet everyone still can't agree that assault rifles should not be sold at gun stores. They can't. It's like, how am I supposed to respect that? If I lived in America and I didn't know any better, that'd be one thing. Like, all right, well, everything's a debate. Everything's an argument. It's very hard to change policy because everyone's fighting all the time. If I was from America, sure, I would just think that's how it is. That's just how it has to be. But that's not how it has to be, man. Man, my country sorted this shit out a long time ago with minimal bullshit because we're a smaller population. We're just generally better educated. We're at a higher cultural level. I don't care if that makes you mad. That's fucking true. That's just fucking true. We had, like, man, that's all this shit. I can't remember the exact date of gay marriage, but it was like the early 90s. I'm talking about it like I really know. I don't know. I looked it up on Wikipedia one time because it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be an issue. It's just fine. We had a female prime minister who wasn't elected. She was a stand-in for someone else for some reason, but we just did it. It's like, who gives a shit? Everything doesn't have to be this big fucking issue. So when everything is a big issue in your stupid fucking country, everything, stem cell research, abortion, why should I respect you? If you were me, would you respect you? If you were from somewhere besides America, would you respect this bullshit? You wouldn't. So just step outside your dumb fucking country and your stupid fucking life. Anyway, again, I really didn't mean to start blabbing about this. Now I need to think of another song to play that's about America somehow or some shit. God damn it. Hold on, I'll find something. All right, this isn't really related on this big national level, but I mean, I think a big reason why I'm willing to hold these views on these large issues is because I hold the same views on an individual issue, or just on an individual, a smaller level. I'm very uncomfortable with people following trends on any level. If it's just whatever clothes are cool or just iPads, man. It drives me crazy. Everyone's got to have a stupid fucking iPad just because it's the thing. Oh, it's a recession, but I need to have an iPad. Fuck you. You don't need it. You never needed it. It's nonsense. It's bullshit. You just want to be... Oh, it's cool to have one of these, and then you convince yourself that it was useful. Fuck you, go fuck yourself. Oh, that disgusts me, this, like, that you can't afford these things, but you have to have them. I just feel the exact opposite. I just want my old shit. I've had the same wallet for 10 years. I've had this MP3 player since 2007, so that's at least 5 years. This recorder right now went through a house fire, fell in a toilet. I've had it for years too, since 2008, I think. 2009? When did I get this? I don't know. To me, it's important to hold on to old shit as long as you can. Not to get new shit. Not to follow the trend and do the fucking thing that everyone else is doing. And I think that attitude has helped me not fall into line. Because, like, I think people misinterpret. When I complain about America, they're like, ah, well, the other side of the coin is it's still nationalism, right? He's just saying Canada's better. He's still on the Canada tip. But I'm not. I mean, I do think, objectively speaking, as a society, Canada really has its shit together so much more. But I don't use that to self-identify. Like, that's not part of my... I think you would be shocked at the level at which I will criticize Canada. The depths to which I will kick that place around. It's just no one cares to do it. No one even cares enough to do that. But, like, this idea of people insulting your country and the things that it's done, and it just burning you up. Oh, God, how could you say that? Makes me so mad. Never. Would never happen. In a million years. This conformity makes me uncomfortable. So the song I'm going to play is Through Being Cool by Devo, which is a song that I didn't like when I first heard it. It was on the Heavy Metal soundtrack, that animated movie. It was super cool. I thought this was a really bad song, but then when I got older... And I mean, everyone just knows Devo from Whip It and stuff, but if you dig into it, they have some really great stuff. And this song ended up really growing on me, because it's, musically, it's not an aggressive song, but the message behind it, and the message behind that whole band, the more you learn about them, is really just like, get the fuck out of my face. We're going to do exactly what we want to do, and you can just fuck off. So it's a really good song. This is Through Being Cool by Devo.
Small town.
I'm trying to shake off, like, just my complaininess. It's like, I got a couple other things in mind, but I was listening to a song, like, just trying to shake them out of my brain, but maybe today is not the day for those thoughts. Maybe I'll save them for another ham radio. When I haven't been drinking, I can stay a little more focused. Because I guess when I'm drunk, it just tumbles down that hill. Hey, let's just complain about shit. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Even though it never really makes me feel any better. Probably better if I just shut the fuck up, man. Got on with my life. Yeah, I don't know. I got these... the deep thoughts portion of the podcast that I don't know if this is the time. I guess I'm just not feeling it right now. Man, you know, I was hanging out at Keith's house. He's got a globe, of course. There's another globe. A lot of globes around. But he's right about globes, man. Globes are fucking cool. Like, just looking at it. Just this enormous, weird, bizarre world. But if you look on the globe and you look at where I'm from, New Brunswick, Canada, it's right next to Maine. And right next to Maine is, like, Vermont or some other fucking place. And, you know, New York's right there. Like, we're so close. It's just this weird little dividing line of countries that, if that was just a little different, like, you know, it's essentially the same. It's so close to the same. Whenever I talk about America versus Canada, well, I don't know. I think that's one thing that throws people. Is they're like, how can he not like America? I mean, I don't know. I just assume people will clue into my hyperbole that I'm exaggerating. I mean, it's essentially the same. It's 95% the same. You know, I'm just talking about the tweaks, the fucking little tiny details. I don't know. And it's just like, I don't know, whatever. Get on the trolley, man. You know? I don't know. Especially, you look at the map, you look at the globe, you look at all this stuff. America is the best. Oh, I just can't stand it. It's so fucking ignorant. That's where I'm just convinced, like, even if I grew up here, I wouldn't be like that. And I mean, I said it as a throwaway comment last time I was on Keith and the Girl, but I really do think I am a better American than most Americans. You know, I do think that these notions, this fucking mystical shit that these fuckheads believe in, I believe in the real version of that. I believe it really is important. These fucking things that America is supposed to stand for. But I don't believe in the trappings of it. I mean, really, this fucking Declaration of Independence that's from so fucking long ago, of course it's nonsense. I mean, just again, just as a random example, because I don't know much about the rest of the world, but what's the Canadian one even called? The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms? It's only like 30 years old. Of course it's better. It's newer, you know? Update that shit. Don't try to fucking work with all this junk that's just old and nonsensical and Second Amendment. Go fuck yourself. Yeah, what the hell was I talking about? I'm tired of this shit. Who cares? Fuck Jesus. Oh yeah, so I was gonna say that doesn't even matter. I'll get into the other stuff later. It's not for this. It shan't be sullied by all this fucking blab and bullshit. But stupid fucking gigantic country-sized fucking shit that doesn't matter at all. Alright, let's end this off with a quick little song. This is Jonathan Mann, the guy that does a song every day. And this is called Oh, the End is Coming. Song 1000 and something, and it's way good. So let's just listen to this, and then I'm gonna go try to go to sleep, even though I'm sure I'll just lay there and not go to sleep. Cool. All right, I'll talk to you later then.
See ya, man.
Oh, the end is coming because the Mayans told me so. Look out, the sky is falling and we're all gonna go. Down, 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 oh, deep into the depths. There's four white horses riding and their name is Death. Oh, the end is coming, didn't Nostradamus say? God's taking a great big breath and he's gonna blow us away. Down, 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 oh, deep into the deep. The universe imploding, one total final sleep. Oh, the end is coming, and as soon it will be soon. We'll melt into the sun and we'll be smacked up by the moon. Down, 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 she'll come raining down with fire. Doesn't matter if you're a believer, an agnostic or denier. Oh, the end is coming because the Mayans told me so. Look out, the sky is falling and we're all gonna go. Down, 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 oh, deep into the depths. There's four white horses riding and their name is Death.
Recently, I've started to think that me, you know, my personality, mm-hmm. whatever, that I don't have any permanent place here, mm-hmm. you know, in eternity or whatever, you know. And the more I think that, I can't go through life saying that this is no big deal, you know. I mean, this is it. This is actually happening. What do you think is interesting? What do you think is funny? What do you think is important? You know, every day is our last.
When I feel that way, I usually call my mom to tell her how much I love her.
Yeah.
And she's always... Are you okay? Do you have cancer? Are you going to commit suicide? It's almost not worth it.
All right, it's the next morning. I'm kind of hungover, kind of still drunk feeling.
So anyway, I'm just taking a little walk right now to go get some coffee and just take a little stroll, get my head straight. It's not too bad of a day out today. It's not blazing hot. Man, that's one thing, Kyle's bike thing he set up yesterday. It is a shame I missed it, but it was so fucking hot yesterday. Oh my God, I should have been sweating buckets. Oh, my brain don't work. Fucking fuck.
So, here's the thing I was thinking. I guess just thinking about New York-y shit. I can't remember how this came up, but I did that podcast. I think I mostly talked about it over on Vinyl Countdown. The episode called The Miracle Story, where I talked about losing track of everyone last April in New York and having no money and no phone and just finding Picard and my friend Matt. It was one in a million. Fucking insane that happened. Just crazy shit. I guess I was thinking about it because that girl Andrea that I was hanging out with that night sent me a Facebook message the other day, but I was again just hungover and crap feeling, so I did not hang out with her. But yeah, I mean, that story, that was crazy. Like, that was like if you were going to believe in God, you know, if you're on the fence, I mean, that's the kind of thing that would push you over. Just like, holy shit, man. That's crazy that happened, that worked out so well. But then when I think back, like, everything has always worked out real well in my life. Like, nothing bad has ever really happened to me. And then I guess, you know, people are like, your fucking house burned down. You got fucking pepper sprayed in the face. What do you mean nothing bad has ever happened? I mean, it's a big world. Things are gonna happen. Events transpire, but they didn't really lead to anything all that bad. Everything worked out pretty well. So, I mean, if you wanted to get abstract about the concept, you could call that God, right? And, like, if God isn't just this dumb, like, guy with a big beard, literal person, if it's more just this sense of, I don't know, an entity looking over you, I mean, you could boil that entity down to this is just this biological mass we got rolling, this whole world of just one thing leads to the next, and this, we got that, and now here we are. It's clearly worked out pretty well. And it's just that, I don't know, there's just not much to be afraid of, because, I don't know, bad things, they happen sometimes. They've happened to people I know, but they never happened to me. And, I don't know, statistically, they probably won't. It's probably going to be fine. So why worry about it? I don't know. I don't know exactly what point I'm trying to make. I guess just that it's good to appreciate these things. It's good to, even if it is just luck, if it's just lucky, it's good to remember that you're lucky. Just this whole fucking world I was born into, this particular part of the world, the family I was born into, pretty fucking lucky. Good to remember that you're lucky, to appreciate your luck. Then I wonder, what if I was to start pushing it? I mean, probably it would be fine, right? If I just don't worry. I mean, I don't that much anyway, but just put myself in weird situations. Probably it's going to work out. Probably it will. I think this has kind of led to, though, just subconsciously to, like, this, like, this kid's book that I'm working on. It's almost done, and a guy just dropped me a line about maybe illustrating it, a guy from Argentina who's an insanely good artist. He's going to at least draw me a couple, like, sample pages, I think. That just happened. That just worked out. And I guess things don't seem out of my grasp. The idea that I could get a kid's book published doesn't seem weird to me. It's like, yeah, that could happen. Why not? Or a normal book, or make a movie, or any kind of shit. It's an easy world. Not for all people. But it is easy for me, you know? Can't deny the evidence. Nothing really bad has ever happened. Like, as much as I complain about just surface bullshit a lot, fundamentally underneath, I don't feel too bad about shit. Seems like it's going pretty well. Anyway, a song I started listening to again a bunch is This Home, or That Home. It's called That Home, I think. From the Cinematic Orchestra. The song that was in... Oh, my poor brain. Holy fuck. The song that was in Another Earth. I think last time I played the two versions of this from their album, but someone made like a deluxe super extended version you can find on YouTube, so I'm going to play that.
Sold by the car. would sneeze by the cracks of his skin. I climbed to the top. I climbed the tree to see the world. When the guys came around to blow.
I always feel like a freak because I'm never able to move on like this, you know.
People just have an affair or even entire relationships.
They break up and they forget. They move on like they would have changed brand of cereals. I feel I was never able to forget anyone I've been with. Because each person has their own specific qualities. You can never replace anyone. What is lost is lost. Each relationship, when it ends, really damages me. I never fully recover. That's why I'm very careful with getting involved, because it hurts too much. Even getting laid, I actually don't do that. I will miss of the person the most mundane things. Like, I'm obsessed with little things. I think it's the same with people. I see in them little details so specific to each of them that move me and that I miss and will always miss. You can never replace anyone because everyone is made of such beautiful, specific details. Like, I remember the way your beard has a bit of red in it and how the sun was making it glow that morning right before you left. I remember that and I missed it. Really crazy, right?
What do you think the chances were of us ever meeting again?
After that December, I'd say almost zero. But you're not real anyway, right? You're just characters in that old lady's dream. She's on a deathbed fantasizing about her youth. So of course we had to meet again.
Oh, God. Why weren't you there in Vienna?
I told you why.
Well, I know why. I wish you would have been. Our lives might have been so much different.
You think so?
I actually do.
Maybe not. Maybe we would have hated each other eventually.
Oh, what? Like we hate each other now?
You know, maybe we're only good at brief encounters, walking around in European cities in warm climate.
Oh, God. Why don't we exchange phone numbers and stuff? Why didn't we do that?
Because we were young and stupid.
You think we still are?
I guess when you're young, just believe there'll be many people with whom you connect with. And later in life, you realize it only happens a few times.
Yeah, you can screw it up. You know, misconnect.
All right, and one last little thing. I've really been just lemming, as I've ranted about in the past, just really feeling let down by entertainment, movies, and TV. never really surprise me. They never go weird places. Just really feel like it's just a duty to watch them just sitting there waiting, trying to slog through this shit. It's disappointing. Because, I mean, at the best of times, I guess you can be, like, energized, you know, and inspired by movies and TV, but it's not going so well lately. And maybe it's just a period you have to pass as any kind of artist person. See, that's the other thing, is, like, I really feel like, and maybe this comes off as arrogant, but I can do all the things, you know? I can do everything. Everything art-wise, I mean, I'm not the best singer or the best painter, but I can do all that stuff. I can learn it. I can learn instruments. I did enough of it. You know, like, I've gone far enough into each discipline to know that I can do it. And then some of it I can do really well. Audio editing and writing. Like, there's no, like, oh, here's my thing, here's my career, here's my job, I'll do it. I can do all the stuff. So maybe this is, now that I'm in my early 30s, like, maybe this just disillusionment with other people's stuff is a necessary step. It's just like, just in the boat and pushing off from the dock and just going off, doing my own thing, like, not listening to other people's stuff, not watching other people's shit. Just worrying about my own shit, making stuff that matters to me because no one else is making that stuff. So I have to do that. It's disappointing, though, how it always comes down to that. Like, if you want whatever I want to have, I have to do myself because it's rarely able to be found otherwise. I used to always think about, like, someday somebody decided to document the Keith and the Girl world. And they're like, oh, I might say this or I might say that. But at the end of the day, I have to do it. I'm here right now doing it, you know? I should have known all along. That's how it always ends up being. To finally get something to be a part of this world that you want, you just gotta make it. You just gotta do it yourself. But what I wished I could find with art, especially, I mean, I wish I could just, you know, I just want it to make me feel stuff. I just want it to, ideally, like, I wish I could just watch something and just have it just gut punch me, just bam, and just make me feel, even if it's feel bad, just feel something. And then all this shit just makes me feel nothing. I'm at a big street here. This is gonna be a little loud. Well, finally something got me. And it was worth the wait. I've been meaning to watch these movies for ages. It's Before Sunset and Before Sunrise. Those are the reverse titles. By Richard Linklater. I only know a bit of his stuff, and I could never really get into it because it's really tends to be really meandering and pseudo-intellectual and not really my thing. But these movies, Before Sunset came out in the 90s, and it's just a guy who meets an American guy, meets a French girl on a train, and then they spend the night in Vienna walking around and talking. And they talk about all the kind of silly shit that you might talk about if you're in your early 20s, but some of it is really nice and really, like, nice, good, well-thought-out thoughts. And some of it's just a bunch of yada yada yada. And the whole thing, I mean, it has this kind of unreal vibe to it. Because it's just such, like, it's not a perfect night, but it's, like, it's a perfect night, you know? It's, like, the idealized version of what would happen in this situation, in this weird situation that you did this thing. Someone you really don't know. You just took a chance and hung out with them that night. And it was a really good movie. But then what just floored me is Before Sunset, the sequel that came out 9 years later. At the end of Before Sunrise, they plan to meet again in 6 months, and that's the end of the movie. And I would have just assumed that they did. And they had another day that was not as good, but pretty good. And then maybe they hung out some more, and, you know, things then slowly
flared out and deteriorated. I guess everybody has their own view of how that movie would end. That's kind of the point, is how you interpret where you think things are going to go. But what happens in the sequel is that she missed that meeting, and that's all they knew. They didn't know each other's last names, they didn't know phone numbers, they had nothing. The internet was not a thing back then, so they hadn't seen each other in 9 years, and they meet again. And man, that movie, that second movie, it is so awesome. It is just so good. It really makes the first movie with that. It's kind of idealized, dreamy quality. It's like the first movie is the memory of those people. Like, you can watch their idealized memory of how well that night went. And what you find out when you meet up with them again, now that they're in their early 30s, it's in real time, that one. It's just them talking for an hour and a half. And as it starts to unravel, you find out that that one night, because it was just such a storybook, amazing night, has kind of fucked up their whole lives. Because that's just whatever romances they were in afterward, like, nothing can stack up to that one night, that one crazy night where you only knew that person one day. And it seemed so perfect, and you just can't get that back. And then as they get older and they start to get more and more disillusioned with romantic love in general, but there's always this day, this one day that just nags at them and just makes it seem like there was something there that they missed or that they can't get back. I heard someone describe it as a romance movie for realists. And man, it is just so good. It is just crazy good. You know, the both have to go together. So I like the second one better. Even though as a movie, kind of the first one is kind of a better movie. But the second one is the one I like the best. Like, the first one is the primer for the second one. And it seems so crazy to even try this, like, to try to make this sequel. Like, how are you going to do anything but fuck up the original? And that they pulled it off and did this great thing. It's fucking astounding, man. It's so good. And there's a line that, some New York construction. There's a line that the girl says in the second movie about how when you're young, you just think you're going to meet, you know, you meet these people that are important in your life, but you figure, well, there's more where they came from. There's going to be all kinds of people I'm going to make connections with throughout my life. And then as you get older and you look back, you realize that there weren't really that many. That they were these rare, precious little events. And man, that just floored me. I mean, that's just true. It made me think of Erica in Vancouver. I might do a whole XO about this. We'll see. I set the files all up, but I don't know. I haven't done an XO in a long time. I remember at the time, it seemed so, like, miraculous that I met her. Just so many things had to line up just right in my life to lead to that. Like, if any one of 50 little things had been different, even just that year alone, even just the months leading up to meeting her, I wouldn't have met her. And then when you're in the thrall of it, it seems, like, just magical again, like there's some kind of god, like someone set this all up. But then after we broke up and split up, even as I was breaking up with her that day, you know, I remember thinking, like, well, that's just because I was infatuated with her. That's not realistic. She's just a girl I met at a coffee shop. There's all kinds of other girls at other coffee shops. Like, it's no big thing. But then as the years pass from there, I mean, it hasn't been 10 years yet, but it's getting on. I start to see it the other way, because there weren't a bunch of other people like her. There just weren't. If I didn't meet her, I mean, I would have met someone else, but it wouldn't have been the same. It would have been a whole different thing. Like, each one of these little events really is just, extremely rare and extremely important and just extremely precious. You know, I come back to like the Scott Pilgrim volume one. Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life. Like, you know, I'm only 32. I got a long way to go. I mean, I've got a grandmother who's 101, 102. I can't even imagine what her perspective must be like at this point, that she even cares to examine it, even gives a fuck anymore. But even just now, it seems like I've been on the earth long enough that I'm starting to be able to realize how fleeting these moments are and how there's not some endless procession of them that are gonna just parade their way through my life. There were what there was, and that's it. So yeah, that movie, I really can't recommend those two enough. And I mean, Before Sunset, the second one, it's just so bizarre too. I mean, it's like it fills both quotients. So all the things that I was looking for, where I want someone to just do something fucked up, just something crazy, and just following a couple having a conversation for 80 minutes, that's fucking crazy. That is a bizarre way to make a movie. And then for it to just be people talking, I mean, that's all I give a fuck about. I can't remember who said it, someone, about writing, that no one ever skips dialogue. If you're not sure what, you know, amount of description you should have in your books or what style you should use, no one skips dialogue. Long room descriptions, they'll skip. Dialogue, it's like you can't skip it, you have to read it. And that's all this movie was. It's just two people, like two characters. It's crazy. And the ending of the second one. Oh my god, it's so good. It is just so good. I mean, it's just this small little moment, but I really didn't see it coming, and it was just so perfect. So I guess that's my recommendation, Before Sunrise and Before Sunset. I heard that they're making a third one, but anyway, so I'm just gonna play a couple of songs from the soundtrack to Before Sunset that the girl Julie Delphi, I think her name is, she performs these songs. I'll do her waltz and then her other little cool song that's in the closing credits, and then I'll play Corbeau by Killed the Pirate also, just to finish things off, because it's a French song and it's really good, and it's a sad love song, so I think it fits. Alright, so it took me some time to do a ham radio, but that was an okay one, right? Figured I'd just wait till I was feeling it. Or till I was drunk. One or the other. Now to head back to the Keith and the Girl studios and fucking talk about Batman and make fun of the Olympics. Oh, there's that thrift shop where I meant to go in there, and they have a bike helmet. I was going to buy it. I've been biking around New York a lot. It's been really fun, but no bike helmet. So if I die, you can find this audio and be like, you stupid fuck. You fucking idiot piece of shit. All right, here's some nice songs from Before Sunset.
Would you like some tea?
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Is chamomile okay?
Yeah, great. Merci.
Merci? You think my apartment is messy?
No. Merci beaucoup.
Ah, merci. I meant to tell you, your French has improved a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you've really mastered the language.
All right. What song are you going to play me, huh?
No, I can't. It's too embarrassing. It's been
Whoa, no way, no way. I came all the way up here, you cannot crap out of me now. One song, anything will be great.
No, but listen, you're gonna laugh at me.
You think so?
Yes.
I doubt it.
Okay, what do you want to hear? I have three songs in English. One's about my cat, one's about my ex-boyfriend, well, ex-ex-boyfriend. And there's one about, well, it's just a little waltz.
A waltz? Yeah. Play the waltz.
I haven't played it in a while. You sure? Let me sing you a waltz out of nowhere, out of my thoughts. Let me sing you a waltz about this one night stand.
Tu me maltraites, douleur. Et... et de perdre, sans compter nos morts, qu'on laisse derrière des ébauches fanées, des secrets de carrière, et trois par trois, de nos cœurs essoufflés, des secousses folles qu'on réfléchit plus tard, mais non, il faut rêver. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, rhabille-toi. Et deux par deux, on avale nos mots. C'est dur d'oublier ce que l'on connaît et ce qui imprègne nos peaux. Et trois par trois, nos cœurs de la partie. On joue au couteau et on peut partager le même lit. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, ravis-toi. Et je ne sais d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à qui penser. C'est fini, rhabille-toi. Et deux par deux, on avale nos mots. C'est dur d'oublier ce que l'on a connu, qui a imprégné nos peaux. Et trois par trois, nos cœurs de la partie. On joue au couteau et on peut partager le même lit.
Je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est dur d'être libre comme toi. Et je ne sais plus à quoi penser. C'est fini, rabais-toi. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, thank you again.
I'm in a Dunkin' Donuts. Man, this shit is horrible. And just the other day, I ran into somebody, some new guy on Keith and the Girl, talking about Tim Hortons because he was doing comedy up in Canada, and he's like, I don't understand why everyone's so big on Tim Hortons. That shit sucks. And he's not wrong. It's pretty bad. I can't really defend Tim Hortons. I like the coffee, but just because I grew up with it, the actual other stuff's pretty shit. But then he said it's no better than Dunkin' Donuts. I had to call him on that. That's blasphemy. Nothing's worse than Dunkin' Donuts. This shit's terrible. But I end up here anyway. I was here actually when I first got to New York, came to this Dunkin' Donuts and just watched people go by and all the craziness outside. There was like a mariachi band behind me. All these different people. And I really do think this is like a city of the future. Like this is a view of what it's going to be like. It's inevitable, you know? It's going to be a much more varied mix of people, types of people. They're all going to be crammed in, and it's going to be fucked up. And honestly, if this is the worst it got, this isn't that bad. New York, I mean, I complain about it, but it could be a lot worse. But it still made me think that... And this fucking dumb mocha I bought, it's not mixed at all. It's just like a bunch of chocolate sludge at the bottom and some really terrible tasting coffee shit and then whipped cream on top. It's fucking nonsense. Anyway, yeah, it just made me think, what
time is it? I gotta make sure I don't miss the show. It's only 1:30. They don't start till 4. Got plenty of time. If this is the city of the future, like, it just makes me think, like, I hope Canada just keeps moving further north. Just move north and north and north till you're far enough north and no one wants to be there anymore. And people don't want to move there. And then you can build a giant, like, wooden gate. Gigantic wooden pillars. Like, I think of, like, those old... you know, in the colonizing days, those old lodge-type villages, just like a giant version of that. Like, I'd love to see Toronto just move north and be surrounded by a giant wooden gate. And no one, I don't know, just that no one can go in, but no one even wants to go in. They don't want the cold. And we get to live alone where it's quiet and cold and still and calm. That to me is a very comforting image. Alright, so I didn't intend to play another song. Let's find something chill to finish things off. I might have to go with The Bell and a Whistle. That song is so beautiful. Yeah, you really can't beat that. A Bell and a Whistle by Early Mart to finish this off. Maybe for real, probably for real.
Just the two of us.